ॐ नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय। Vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 22, The Marriage of Karadama Muni and Devahuti, text number 21. Maitreya Vacha.
Maitreya Vacha.
Sa ugradanvaniya eva. Sa ugradhanvan iyadeva babhase. Asit chatushnim maravindanabham. Deo pagrinan smitasobitena. Mukena ceto lulubhe deva hutyaha. Sa ugradhanvan iyadeva bhabhashe. Asit chatushnim maravindanabham. Deyau pagrinan smitashobitena. Kena ceto lulubhe deva hutyaha. Sa ugradanvan iya deva bhapashe. Asit chatushnim marabindanabham. Deya pagrinan smita shobitena. Mukhena ceto lulubhe deva hutyaha. Very good. Let's just do the word for word. Maitreya.
Maitreya.
The great sage Maitreya.
Maitreya.
Uvacha.
Uvacha.
Said.
Said.
Saha.
He,
Karadama,
Karadama.
Ugradhanvan,
Ugradhanvan.
O great warrior Vidura,
Vidura.
Iyat, this much, Eva, only, Abhabhashe, spoke, Asit, became, Ja, and, Tushnim, silent. Aravindanabham, Lord Vishnu, whose navel is adorned by a lotus. Dhiya, by thought. Upagrinan, seizing. Smita Shobitena, beautiful, oh sorry, beautified. By his smile. Mokena. By his face. Chetaha. The mind. Lulubhe. Was captivated. Devahutyaha. Of Devahuti. So Maitreya said, O great warrior Vidura, the sage Karadama said this much only and then became silent. Thinking of his worshipable Lord Vishnu, who has a lotus on his navel. As he silently smiled, his face captured the mind of Devahuti, who began to meditate upon the great sage. Purport: it appears that Kardama Muni was fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness because as soon as he became silent, he at once began to think of Lord Vishnu. That is the way of Krishna consciousness. Pure devotees are so absorbed in thought of Krishna that they have no other engagement, although they may seem to think or act otherwise. They are always thinking of Krishna. The smile of such a Krishna conscious person is so attractive that simply by smiling he wins so many admirers, disciples and followers. I'm going to read the next verse, which doesn't have a purport, just for... progress's sake. Sonu gyatva via vasitam mahishya duhitu sputam tasmai guna guna dhyaya tado tulyam praharachitaha. After having unmistakably known the decision of the queen as well as that of Devahuti, the emperor most gladly gave his daughter to the sage whose host of virtues was equalled by hers. Om Gana Timirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kada Mahayam Tadati Tva Padantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. What's the qualification of a devotee as is being described here? Always thinking of Krishna, yes. Manmana bhavaman bhakto. Think of me. Matschita. Matschita savadurga neet mat prasada tarishyasi. Aha chetvam mahankaram nastrosyasi vinankshati. So there are different types of transcendentalists. There are the, well, there's the Kamis. There's the Kamis, not exactly transcendentalists because they're attached to the fruits of their activities. Quality of a devotee is such that they're unattached to the results of their actions because they know that ultimately they don't belong to them. The results of our actions are ordained ultimately by Krishna. So we do our service, we leave the result up to Krishna. That's the detachment that's exemplified in the character of a pure devotee. So there are the Kamis, they're generally attached to the fruits of their actions. And what does Krishna say about the Kamis in terms of their character? What does he say? They're rascals. Well, they're rascals. Then there's the Gyanis. The Gyanis are more elevated than the Kamis because they understand the futility of simply pursuing the fruits of one's actions because they're limited and temporary anyway. But what does Krishna say? And so then they're looking for a higher goal than just accumulating material possessions. They're looking for learning, knowledge, an understanding of things, a proper understanding of things. So they're more elevated than the Karmis because they have knowledge. But what does Krishna say about the Gyanis? He says they're rascals also. Right? They're rascals. And then there's higher than the Gyanis. So I was listening to a class this morning, Prabhupada was saying, the Karmis are third class rascals. Right? The Gyanis are second class rascals. And the yogis who are pursuing the super soul, ultimately the purpose of yoga practice is to seek out the super soul within the heart. That's the Patanjali's yoga system. Or is the real purpose of yoga is to seek out the presence of the Lord within the heart. But what is Prabhupada says they're first class rascals, right? And there's so much effort has to be put into, you know, working hard to get the results of the actions, to enjoy the results of our activities. And even for the Gyanis, there's so much effort and endeavour. And for the yogis, so much effort and endeavour. But here we get an example of how easy it is to be a devotee, actually. And a devotee is considered to be the highest of all. Bhaktya mama bijanati. If one doesn't have bhakti, then one can't know Krishna. And the first qualification of the devotees is that they think of Krishna all the time. That's their qualification. Pure devotees are thinking of the Lord. So we rise to the level of thinking of Krishna by following the nine processes of devotional service, which begin with Shravanam, Kirtanam, then Vishnu Smaranam. So we can see that our process, the process of devotional service, as Srila Prabhupada basically given us, our sadhana is to achieve the sadhya or the goal of being able to remember Krishna. So we get up early in the morning, what do? We come for the temple, we worship the deity, we worship the spiritual master, we chant Hare Krishna, we study the Srimad Bhagavatam, so that by the end of the morning program, basically, if we've applied ourselves properly, then it'll be a natural consequence of those activities that we remember Krishna. We won't be able to do anything else but remember Krishna. Huh? Ideally, of course, you know, the degree to which we're pure is the degree to which we're not disturbed by material, you know, attachments, material disturbances. Although, Prabhupada does mention that even in the mind of a yogi, so long as we've got a material body, then we always run the risk of material impressions, material thoughts, inclinations, or what is it? Pushings, right? Vacho vegam, manasakroda vegam, jiva vegam, udura pashta vegam. So long as we've got a material body, there will be pushings of the body. Because, you know, sometimes devotees get depressed because they're chanting Hare Krishna and they've been chanting Hare Krishna for a long 10 years, 20 years or whatever, but they've still got material desires. And so they become discouraged. What's the point of this Krishna consciousness? I've still got material desires. Well, don't be surprised. That's quite normal. And it's a result of our past deeds, past actions, past karma. But that those pushings, the urge to speak, the mind's demands, the action of anger, the pushings of the tongue, the belly and the genitals, these things can be controlled and therefore sublimated or purified by engagement in devotional service. But we shouldn't be surprised if there's some external or some internal influence of the material energy. But the sadhana process, it gradually purifies. That's why Krishna mentions in the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, apichet sudaracharo. Even here Prabhupada says, pure devotees are so absorbed in thought of Krishna that they have no other engagement, although they may seem to think or act otherwise. They are always thinking of Krishna. So, it may be that, especially for those of us who are beginners on a path of devotional service, it may be that we experience some difficulty or some setback, some influence of the material energy. But Krishna mentions, apichet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananyabhak. So long as the determination is there to continue the process of devotional service, beginning with shravanam, kirtanam, then gradually, because that's the path of perfection, if one sticks to the process, then one will be purified. And, you know, any engagement in devotional service will act. It's what's called agyata sukriti. And it will gradually purify. Right? Because the tendency is in all of us to serve. It's our inherent nature. It's our inherent quality. And so long as we're engaged in devotional service, knowingly or unknowingly, there'll be some purification. There'll be some benefit. And so therefore, that determination to render service to the Lord is the saving grace of the devotee, even if there's some difficulty or disturbance in their devotional practice. So the degree to which we're purified, the degree to which we stick to the process, is the allows that purification to take place. Therefore, we stay in the association of the devotees. We follow the sadhana practice, the vidhi, the rules and regulations of devotional service are designed to gradually help us make progress so that the influence of the material energy becomes less and less and the absorption in devotional service becomes more and more. Naturally, it becomes more and more. And the nature of devotional practice is such that it releases us from the effects of our past karma. That's why one has to remain strictly adherent to the vidhi, the rules and regulations, because they're basically favourable for the cultivation of this meditation. So that one's able to then think of Krishna. So Prabhupada points out here, when Kardama Muni became silent, then he was just naturally absorbed in thoughts of, in this case, Lord Vishnu, Aravinda Nabham. He became silent. Tushnim.
Dhiyo pagrinan smita shobitena.
And in that meditation, he appeared very attractive. That is one of the qualities of the devotees. They're very attractive. When they're absorbed in devotional practice, then naturally they'll be attractive. I went for a japa walk just before class. I was walking down a road and people, not that I'm such a great devotee, but they were smiling at me. Huh? Why are they smiling at a devotee? Huh? When they see a devotee, they remember Krishna. Right? Oh, look, Hare Krishna. Huh? That's why Prabhupada wanted us to be, you know, to present Krishna consciousness in our uniform. Right? Prabhupada says, this is like our uniform. Now, there are certainly occasions where we present Krishna consciousness in an alternative style, but there are many benefits that come about as a result of just presenting ourselves in our Vaishnava, what we call devotional attire. Of course, for a devotee, whatever he wears, it's devotional because he's always engaged in Krishna service, so we can't say that one attire is undevotional and the other one, but well, there is a discrimination. Right? We discriminate between wearing our jeans and shirts and wearing a dhoti and chadar and other devotional attire, what we call devotional attire. It, first of all, it reminds us that we're devotees, but it also it reminds others, oh, look, Hare Krishna. And then when they chant Hare Krishna, they get spiritual benefit. So they smile. Right? So here, Prabhupada says at the end of the purport, the smile of such a Krishna conscious person is so attractive that simply by smiling he wins so many admirers, disciples and followers. Devotees are attractive. And when they smile, actually when anybody smiles, people are attracted. But for the Krishna conscious person who's deeply absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, then they are especially attractive. And they win many admirers, disciples and followers by their attractive features. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Yeah. Yes. How do we measure the advancement, or how do we gauge the characteristic or the quality of a person? By their smile Alone? Mm-mm. No. What does Prabhupada say the most important qualification of a man is? Huh? No. Hang on. Speak one at a time, because if you all speak at once, I don't know what you're saying. No. How they speak. Yes, how they speak. Why how they speak? Yes, but why speech? Yes. No, but what he says is indicative of what he's thinking. No? Huh? When he speaks, that'll be an indication of what he's thinking. We'll test his thoughts, if you like, by looking how he acts. But Prabhupada makes the point, as Manmohan mentioned, that a fool isn't revealed until he opens his mouth. Right? So the first quality of a person to be measured is how he speaks. And he'll, as Chidrupa mentioned, he'll talk about Krishna, or he'll talk about devotional service. Naturally, he'll be inclined to speak of these things. So, generally speaking, we measure the quality of a person by their speech, by their actions, but there is a special attractiveness in the smile of a devotee, as opposed to the smile of a movie star or whatever. Yeah. Because it's the natural light of the realized or the enlightened. It's, yeah, in the enlightened soul is attractive by their effulgence, by their knowledge, learning. Anything else? Yes, Philip.
I know that it's only, there's one and the same process recommended for everybody to come to Krishna consciousness and to advance in Krishna consciousness. Mm. But for those three classes of rascals, like when they move to the second rascal, are there different strategies to show them, to bring them to Krishna consciousness? Do we treat them all the same way, or are they not?
Well, you don't tell them that they're rascals first. We know they're rascals, but we're rascals too. So, well, that's a good question. We have some fairly straightforward formulas for cultivating people. Book distribution, prasadam distribution, chanting Hare Krishna. If a person is inquisitive, then we give them instruction, give them literature, basically. So, ato atati jigyasu. Right, so there are those who are in distress, so we can help them by giving them good advice, good instructions, give them prasadam. That always relieves anxiety, right? Association. Basically, we want to engage and to encourage people to associate with the devotees. Because if you associate with the devotees, then automatically you'll be doing all of these things. You'll be chanting Hare Krishna. You'll be studying the literature. You'll be doing some service. You'll be naturally, just by that association, connected to Krishna. So, depending on the individual, we'll get them to chant Hare Krishna, we'll speak to them, we'll feed them prasadam, we'll give them association. So, there's a process that Prabhupada quotes in the Bhagavad Gita. Ninth chapter, first verse, is it? Beginning with Shrimbatam Sva Kata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Ridyanta Stoya Badrani Vidunoti Suritsatam Prasana. Anyway, anybody, have you got a Bhagavad Gita there? What does it say? Is it 9-1? Am I right? Yeah, I know, but in the purport. In the purport, what's it say? Is it in that purport? Let's see if my knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita is useful. Is there any verse quoted in the purport?
No.
Try the second one. There's a second. Yeah. In that purport?
Yeah. The first, second line is hearing process is recommended in Srimad Bhagavatam. The message of Supreme Personal Godhead are full of potencies, and these potencies can be realized if topics regarding Supreme Godhead is discussed among devotees.
Yeah, what's that verse? Just say that again. No. Yeah. Anyway, back to my point. Those five verses, Simbatam Sva Kata Krishna, it starts off, it talks about how in the association of devotees one will hear and chant, and as a result of the hearing and chanting process, the heart will become purified. Right? So, really, what we want to do is get people to come into the association of devotees, and then that'll begin the Sravanam Kirtanam, right? Hearing and chanting. That's what happened to all of us. Well, that's what's happening to all of us now, right? So, and that verse also that Prabhupada mentions about how Mama Virya Sambido. The discussions, the topics, discussion of topics about me, Krishna says, have unique potency to purify the heart. So, you know, the whatever strategy we use, the idea is to try to get people to come into the association of devotees. Then in that association, they'll follow the process of devotional service, or they'll follow the process of bhakti. Bhakti yoga is a very simple activity. We're doing it now, just discussing the philosophy. And then when a person discusses the philosophy, when they chant Hare Krishna, when they render service, then they become purified. Vidunoti surit satam srimatam sva kata Krishna punya. Punya means very pious. Punya shravana kirtana. So hearing and chanting is very, very pious activity. Not materially pious, in that, you know, you become very wealthy hearing and chanting about Krishna, but spiritually pious, because one becomes purified and one will realize, one will come to the, you know, the first stage of advancement in Krishna consciousness is we should understand we're not the body. This is the beginning. Then when you realize you're not the body, susukam kartam avyayam, you'll be happy. Right? There's a symptom, as is mentioned here, it's a symptom of devotional practice, devotional service. When it's performed properly, then naturally, automatically, you'll become happy. Huh? You see it when we're chanting Hare Krishna. Everybody's dancing. Everybody's smiling. Right? Well, most everybody. Huh? Maybe someone, you know, grumpy, got out of bed on the wrong side. That means they're not chanting. Huh? Not chanting. If we're following the process of devotional service, we'll be happy. If we're not happy, that means we're not following the process of devotional service. Susukam tat tatam avyayam. It's always joyfully performed. So we're doing something else. If we're not happy, we're doing something else. Some other rascaldom. Right? Karma, jnana, or yoga. Yogi, being a yogi. And we'll be gradually purified. So are there any strategies? Yes, book distribution, prasadam distribution, harinam. We do those things to attract people. Then when we're talking to them, best thing is to make friends. Don't try to beat them philosophically. Although you may have to. But main goal is to get people in an environment where they can hear and chant with the devotees. So that's the tactic. And when people regularly chant and hear the philosophy, chant Hare Krishna, they'll gradually become purified. Huh? And, you know, don't be surprised, you know, I told the story of, we used to have these fellows that came to the temple, and we used to call them the three gunas. And one of them was challenged, you know, come and chant Hare Krishna with the devotees. And he was determined to not become a devotee and chant 16 rounds every day. So there are some people who are determined not to be devotees. Even when they come and associate with the devotees, they can't. So that's okay. No loss. How's that sound? Is that all right? And, you know, in this day and age, there aren't any karmis, jnanis, or yogis. They're all mudhas. They're all asses. Hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. Right? That's what the Bhagavatam says, isn't it? So, the vision of a devotee is we see everybody as a big fool and rascal, right? But when we talk to them, we greet them as if they're a very elevated, exalted, saintly person. Right? That's the strategy. Prabhupada says the strategy is to praise somebody. Oh, you're a really important, you're a really intelligent person. I'm sure you'll be able to appreciate the philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita. Huh? But then you tell them, give up all of your foolish ideas and just surrender to Krishna. So the strategy is make people feel special, right? Make them feel important, but get them to chant Hare Krishna and hear the philosophy as much as possible. Take prasadam, whatever. Any comments? Huh? 7.1. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Tat Srinu. Yep, that's it. First of all, here. Yeah, here. Here, the philosophy. So that's Srimgatam, that's the beginning of devotional practice. Here. You're not the body, you're a spirit soul. Okay, shall we finish? Dhanraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Pinda ki jai.